I don't know if you have noticed or if it's been brought to your attention as we embarked on this latter part of the Gospel of Matthew, in this last week of our Savior's life, how it appears that Matthew has drawn on the book of Zechariah. We're reminded at the beginning of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, there in Matthew 21 and verses 4 and 5, that perhaps Matthew is drawing on Zechariah 9, 9 and 10. And certainly as he speaks to us in the passage just before the one we looked at this morning about the betrayal that Judas perpetrates as he goes and for 30 pieces of silver, the price that would be paid for a gorged animal or a mutilated slave, he pays this price. He's paid this price so that he would betray Jesus. And now this evening, as we come to the last portion of the passage that we read this morning, we'll notice that he's also again citing Zechariah. But before we get to that, let's pay attention as I again read for us Matthew 26, beginning with verse 17, and again reading through verse 35, and we'll particularly give our attention to verses 31 through 35. But hear again now the word of God. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be good, it would have been good for him, for that man, if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. We pray that God would indeed encourage us through this portion of his infallible word to us. It's Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7 that Jesus will quote, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Jesus says this to his apostles, to his disciples. He says it to all the disciples. He says, all of you will be made to stumble. Why will all of them be made to stumble? Because Zechariah says, the shepherd will indeed be struck, and the sheep will be scattered. He speaks this to all of them, and then at the end, all of them reply, we won't do that. And then Peter. Why might Peter exude with such confidence? Why would Peter say, assuredly, no, why would Peter say, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will not stumble? What a brash. Is it brash? What a confident statement to make. And he even goes on to say, Even if they stumble, I will die for you even if they deny you. I'll stand with you. And they wrestled and wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with this. Why would he make such a bold statement? And the only reason that I can come up with, and I'm sure you'll have some ideas as well, but what has Peter seen Jesus do as Jesus has ministered for those 3 and some half years? Well, he's seen Jesus feed 4,000, feed 5,000. He's seen Jesus heal multitudes of people with various and sundry ailments. In fact, he saw Jesus resurrect a person from the dead. And he's one who has been called by the person that he and others understand to be the promised Messiah. And an understanding of the Messiah is, and rightly so, He will be a descendant of David. And he will end up sitting on the throne as David sat on the throne. In other words, his kingdom will have no end because he's now going to be the Davidic king, the Messiah. And the idea is that he's going to muster a troop of people together or call down legions from heaven to destroy the enemy. Now, if this is your idea of what Jesus is about, and you've been called by Jesus to be his disciple, as well as the others, are we able to cut Peter a little bit of slack and say, okay, Peter, and the other 9 of you, other 10 of you, Judas has left. I kind of get it. Because if you follow Jesus into battle, you don't have to worry about the food supply being cut off. You don't have to worry if you're wounded. Jesus, I'm not going to stumble . It's not going to happen. Why? Because if I do, you'll be there to pick me up. You'll be there to care for me as we go forth to win a victory over the Romans. Peter, 3 times you're going to deny me, and then the rooster will crow. No way am I going to deny you. Well, we all know the rest of the story, don't we? We know it quite well. In fact, there'll be a message on it. Why did Peter and the rest stumble? Because the Word of God said that's what was going to happen. It was prophesied by Zechariah. It's applied by Jesus to this very situation in his life, the moments before he's going to go to the cross. Peter and the disciples do this of their own volition. They exude this false confidence. But they were going to do exactly what Jesus said they were going to do. They were going to be scattered. And indeed, that's what happens, isn't it? They're scattered. They leave Jesus when he's betrayed, when he's arrested, when he's taken to court, when he's taken and hung on the cross. They scatter. Because that's what the scriptures said would happen. So what does this say to you and to me? Let me suggest this. When we sit down and we read the scriptures, and we're asking the Lord, what is it that you have to say to me as I read these scriptures? What is it that this word that I have in front of me, that I'm now reading, say of me by you? In other words, Jesus says to these disciples, you're going to deny me. When the scriptures say, you're going to be my witnesses, what do we do? When the scriptures say, this is what I would have you to do, what do we say? Do we agree with Jesus when he tells us, this is who you are, and this is what you are to do? Are we willing to say, I'll hear your voice and I will do as you say? In other words, Peter and the apostles might well have said, Lord, we don't want to do that. Please, Lord, I don't want to deny you. Please, Lord, I don't want to stumble. Please, Lord, let me be faithful unto you. But that's not what happens. They hear what Jesus says they're going to do, and instead of saying, oh, what should I do about that? Come on, Jesus, you don't know me. What makes you say that about us? So I bring it back to ourselves. If Jesus says, I will do something for you, do we take him at his word? Do we believe him? And do we act in faith accordingly? What are some of the things that he says to us? Well, the Father says, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. When we're reading from Genesis to Revelation, are we listening to Jesus? Are we hearing the voice of Jesus speaking to us? And one of the most fundamental things that he says to us is forsake all else and follow me. Do we hear that from Jesus? And do we gladly do it? We sing, for instance, my tongue's a skillful writer's pen to speak about the King. We sing that. Is it true? Is it true? Are we ready as opportunity affords to speak about the King? Does the way we live our lives demonstrate that Jesus indeed is our King? When he says, take up your cross and follow me, are we faithful cross bearers for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we understand what it is for us to take up that cross? Do we understand what it is for us to deny self? Do we understand what it is to say, Lord, give me the desires of my heart? In other words, give me what I desire, no. Place in me the desires that I have. You see the difference? See, I think sometimes we say, give me my desires. I need a new car. Or at least I need a better vehicle. Is the Lord the one who is leading us to that new vehicle or another vehicle? Is he the one who's placed that desire deep within, that therefore moves me to act accordingly? Taking up my cross, understanding that I died when Jesus died, so that the person that I am now is no longer the person that I used to be. And so the desires that I had before I denied self and picked up the cross now are desires that I trust the Lord God gives to speak about the King. To speak about the King. How is it that Jesus is the King of my life Monday through Saturday? How is it Jesus is the King of my life who has said, as you go through life, disciple the nations? Am I hearing his voice and therefore going and doing as he says I am to be doing? Is my life lived as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, such that when I want to be sure I'm having my devotions are shaping and fashioning me. It's not just check the list, I had my devotions. Do we ever exude a false confidence? Have you ever seen someone doing something that they ought not to be doing? What do you think of that person? And how do you treat that person? The temptation often is, well, I'm sure glad I'm not doing that. And a boast in my will to do what I believe is the right thing to do. Isn't that what Peter's about? Lord, you wouldn't want me to stumble. You wouldn't want me to deny you. Therefore, I'm not going to do it. No, Jesus says, this is what you'll do. Are we willing to do those things that Jesus says we will do because we're his disciples? And do we see ourselves doing those things that Jesus says, because we're his brothers and sisters, we will do them? And so the challenge is a simple one. As we assess our lives, wherein do we boast? Do we have confidence that which Jesus says about us is true, and therefore we live according to that truth? Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us. Help us to be hearers of your word. Help us to be hearers of your will as it's expressed in your word. And Lord Jesus, when you tell us that which we will do because we are yours, may we do it. We know that you're not asking any of us ever to deny you. And we're grateful that we have heard, as your sheep, your voice, so that we are understanding that you are our shepherd. We praise you for that salvation. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will enable us to be who we are because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Meet each of us as we go forth this week. That we would be faithful ambassadors of yours, ready to speak about the King, you, Jesus, as we have opportunity. As we look forward to our nation's celebration of independence, may we demonstrate a richer appreciation for what independence means to the praise and glory of your name. And help us, our Father, to be used of you to see even this nation through the spread of the gospel come to confess that Jesus is the one to whom we will look as a people to know how to live. So may we be a people who live what we sing, that our tongues are skillful, ready writers' pens to speak about the King, not simply as we worship you and praise you and honor you this day, but as we go forth, ambassadors in Christ Jesus. For his sake we pray. Amen.